Hi, this is Richard Edelman, and you're listening to The Trust Makers.
I'm Alex Heath, Managing Director and U.S. Head of Social Impact and Sustainability at Edelman. We're recording a special episode of The Trust Makers this week at South by Southwest in Austin. I'm joined today by C.D. Glynn, PepsiCo's Global Head of Philanthropy and President of the PepsiCo Foundation. As the leader of PepsiCo's philanthropic arm, C.D. oversees the foundation's strategic direction and pushes for more equitable access to food, clean water, and economic opportunity around the world. Prior to joining PepsiCo in 2021, C.D. was President and CEO of the U.S. African Development Foundation, Associate Director for Africa for the Rockefeller Foundation, and an Obama administration appointee as the Director of Intergovernmental Affairs and Global Partnerships for the Peace Corps. In addition, if we go a little further back in your career, CD is a returned Peace Corps volunteer, and I'm proud to say that I am too.
That's right.
So I'm thrilled to be here talking with a fellow returned Peace Corps volunteer about the power of the private sector to impact both our local communities and our global society. And I think we share a belief, and our Edelman Trust Barometer data supports this belief that business can, should, indeed must work to create real change for people everywhere. That can sound like a big, complicated, and nebulous task. So who better to help us understand how to tackle that evolved role of business in society than you? CD, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, Alex. I'm from the foundation. I'm here to help. That's why we're here.
Well, welcome to Trustmakers. We're here at South by Southwest. So what brings you here? What kinds of conversations and experiences are you seeking out?
I'm excited to be here in Austin at South by Southwest. There's no greater place for us to sort of show up where there's customers, consumers, community, culture creators, influencers, to sort of show how PepsiCo as a company with major brands wants to get closer to community. And so it's incumbent upon us to be where the people are, who are on the front lines of creating change and transforming communities. And so, you know, it's as you said, a duty, it's an honor, it's a responsibility for us to be here to really show that we really are trying to get more engaged with communities, to listen, to learn, to lead, and to really make lasting change. So that's why we're here.
That's great. We like our listeners to have a bit of background on our guests. Your past experience in government agencies, you worked in the Peace Corps, you were a Peace Corps volunteer, but you worked at Peace Corps, and U.S. African Development Foundation. How did those roles lead you to the private sector, lead you to working in philanthropy at PepsiCo?
It's a great question. I would say, just in terms of the throughput to my life and my life's work, three things: service, opportunity, and impact. Starting out very early, I knew I wanted to be a part of the solution, you know, sort of service beyond self. And so Peace Corps, as you know, Alex, your service, my service, we show up into communities, we show up in places where we've never been, speaking, learning a language we've never heard sometimes before, and doing jobs that have no real, you know, job description. But you get in where you fit in, and you give it your all, and, you know, change happens, and positive change happens. So being of service to others has been a throughput of my life. Creating more opportunities for others. So fortunately, later on in my career after Peace Corps service, I had the opportunity to sort of understand and get a better understanding of creating opportunities in philanthropy. And through the Rockefeller Foundation, a foundation, one of the first global foundations that really is about being a steward of a legacy, if you will. And so that's where, with philanthropic capital, to go in and create change, to be at the intersections of business and government, but where those intractable challenges that exist, but they're intractable. You know, government can't do it, business can't do it. So sometimes philanthropy can de-risk business coming in or government coming in. And so that's where I really found the power of creating opportunity through philanthropic giving of myself as a Peace Corps volunteer, and then giving of sort of financial resources through the Rockefeller Foundation. But now I'm at a place where sort of, where can I take service and opportunity and have the most impact on the most people? And I feel like that's in business as a force for good, and business as a place that permeates every society, is really about economic opportunities and driving change. And so I'm really in a labor of love right now, in the sense that I've had the opportunity to work and at the grassroots level as a Peace Corps volunteer. I've had the opportunity to work at high levels of sort of social impact capital, with philanthropic capital at the Rockefeller Foundation. I've been at the forefront of government through working in the Obama administration, working on the Obama administration transition team, and then being in the senior leadership at the Peace Corps. So having been a Peace Corps volunteer 10, 15 years later, being at the forefront of the Peace Corps in the Obama administration, government, civil society, community engagement, all that has led to where now, how do I bring all of those capabilities to a major corporation that sort of says, we want to be a force for good, for people, for communities and the planet. And I get to take all that I've learned, all that I've done, all that I've aspired to, and bring that to PepsiCo. And then PepsiCo giving me the platform to do more good for more people in a way that really is so fulfilling for me, but also fulfilling for the company. So I'm in a really, really great place right now. I'm in my dream job and I'm just trying to lean into it and then, you know, take on the responsibilities that such a role has and the opportunity to, again, do more good for more people. But it's needed right now.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that you talked about, you were on a panel a little bit earlier and I was fortunate to listen in, and you were talking a little bit about the way that you work at the PepsiCo Foundation. And you know what struck me is that goes all the way back. That's sort of how we were trained as Peace Corps volunteers, right? I walked into these communities and they say, you know, they told us don't do anything for the first 6 months. I don't know if that was something that you heard, but don't do anything. How do you, as an American, go through our schooling system and our culture of immediacy and speed and efficiency and all of this? How do you get into a place where you said you don't know the people, you don't know the language, you don't know the culture, but don't do anything for 6 months? It feels very like how you're starting to bring the communities along and partnering locally with the work that you're doing. Is there a connection there?
I had never directly made the connection, but to your point, And I say this is a lesson for all of us. This is a lesson for big business. This is a lesson for an individual going into a community. Listen, learn, and then maybe if you're fortunate, you can lead.
Yeah.
And so big business in the same way, if we're saying we know how to make great products, we know how to create global brands, but to really transform and be a part of communities, it takes a sense of humility. And that's what you have when you go to a place when, you know, we were grown men and women in the Peace Corps. Yeah. Who showed up in the community, but you were infantized. You didn't speak the language. You didn't know anything. You didn't even know where the bathroom was. You didn't know how to ask any questions. And so you had to be humble, and humility became the calling card of how the community knew if you really were going to be true to this, if you really were going to be a part of them, were you going to listen to them? Were you going to learn the local cultures and traditions and then to lead? And so, you know, in philanthropy and particularly in a big corporation, that, you know, a billion people a day are consuming our products every day, like clockwork, consuming our products. That's a incredible company with multiple billion-dollar brands. And so when I came to corporate America, I was like, oh, a billion-dollar company. No, inside this company, there are more than 20 billion-dollar companies.
Wow.
And that's the Lay's, Doritos, Gatorade, Quaker, you know, all. And I was like, wow, this is amazing. So too much is given. You know, there's a big responsibility, and that's where we have to lean in and listen to communities. We have to sort of learn where there's opportunities for us to make a change, and then we can lead, and we need to be leading. And so we're the PepsiCo Foundation. At the end of the day, we could be check writers, but we really don't want to be check writers. We want to be change makers. So how do we make that change? And that's by taking global resources from what we make around the world and really applying it local. So local is where we start. Bottom-up driven, not top-down, inclusive, not exclusive, you know, open to all, public good. That's what we bring as PepsiCo into the PepsiCo Foundation. So local is critical. Then we want to be leading because we're PepsiCo. And if we're going to do it, let's do it, you know, big. Let's do it the way that we bring the prowess of what we are as a big company, you know, around the world. So we want to be leading. We're not doing something half-step. We're not going to, you know, do it. A little bit there. We're going to be leading in how we approach. So local, leading, and ultimately we want to be lasting. And that means we really are going to do it in the way that Peace Corps volunteers do it. To bring lasting change, it's participatory. It's co-creation. It's with and through communities. It's not doing something to them or for them. And so I take all of those things that I learned, you know, more than 25 years ago as a young guy who wanted to, you know, be a part of the solution and put myself in the mix. Now, as a senior executive at a major multinational, those same lessons hold true. PepsiCo wants to be a global company that really is a local company, has a local impact. We want to have community impact. We want to engage our employees who live and work in those communities. And we ultimately want to show up and sort of say, look, PepsiCo and our brands, whether it's Aquafina or whether it's Lay's potato chips or whether it's Doritos or whether it be Quaker Oats, we want to sort of give those brands purpose and say to the community, it's more than a product. It really is a company that cares about them and it cares about the society in which they live. And that humility and that service mm-hmm. and that impact all started from those early days.
Yeah, that local, leading, lasting. It's such a powerful frame for the work that you do and the way you do it. PepsiCo is a massive global company. So I can imagine that you could work on a variety of issues because there are so many challenging issues that face the communities and the consumers and the employees that touch your products every single day. But what you guys are working on at the PepsiCo Foundation is equitable access to food, safe water, and economic opportunity. Why those three priority areas?
No, it's great. So when I came to the PepsiCo Foundation, and I looked at our strategy and I looked at what we were doing, and we were doing a lot of things, and it was really great. And it was also, you know, to be fair, it was in a time where everyone had to show up in ways that they had never imagined. And this was in the middle of COVID. And so it was an inflection point for the foundation. I mean, the needs were global and they were local and they were, you know, insurmountable. There was nothing that wasn't needed. And so we did do what in development sometimes is negatively called spray and pray. We sprayed a lot of money around and prayed something good was happening in different places. We still need to show up in ways that are needed right now in this emergency, but let's also set up a strategy and a framework that there's a focus and a framework, but there's freedom within that framework to operate globally. So what we're doing in the U.S., what we might be doing in Asia and the Pacific, what we might be doing in Africa, let's give some guidance so that we really can look at real impact. So I'm all about 3 R's. So I'm about results. I'm about being relevant to the needs and challenges. And then it's really about relationships. So I want to make sure that we're driving results, that we're relevant to the real challenges in these local communities, and then that we're having strong relationships with local partners there. So we sort of said, look, what are we at the end of the day as PepsiCo? We're a food and beverage company. We're also an agriculture company because everything that we make comes from the land one way or another, or from nature in terms of the water that we use. But at the end of the day, we need to make sure that what we're doing is our capabilities that we can be leading, we can be the best at. So we're a food company, a convenient food and beverage company. So we know food and we bring great products to the market. And but there's a flip side of that, is food insecurity. Some people don't have access to nutritious foods. Some people aren't farming in a way that's really increasing their yields enough that they can actually not only sell their products, but also have enough to eat in their households. So I said, okay, food insecurity is something that we can tackle because we know food. Water. So we use a lot of water and we have ambitions and goals and challenges around us in terms of being net water positive, to replenish as much water as we use. And so if we're using water, you know, to make great beverages, we know that the underbelly of that issue is that there are people who don't have access to safe water. So that needs to be something that we can lean into because we know water. And then here's the reality. We're a big company. When we show up in communities, we're hiring people, we're contracting, we're sourcing products. So we're creating economic opportunity. So how do we take that economic driver that we are as a company, but also recognize there's inequality that exists in those same communities. Mm-hmm. And so inequality and economic inequality particularly was an area for us to lean in on. So food, beverage, economic opportunity, those are the positive sides of PepsiCo. But some of the places where we live, there's food insecurity. There's lack of access to safe water. There's economic inequality. And so we need to lean in as a foundation to show up in a positive way for the dark side of the things that the company does in such a positive light. And so that's where I sort of said, let's not be overly complicated. A food and beverage company that creates economic opportunity, we're going to focus on food insecurity. We're going to focus on lack of access to safe water. We're going to focus on economic opportunities, particularly for those who are poor and vulnerable and underserved.
Let's pull the thread on the last piece, right? You talked about starting during COVID, and right now we just released our Edelman Trust Barometer, our 2023 Trust Barometer, and we found that economic optimism in 24 of the 28 countries that we surveyed are at all-time lows. So that means that the majority of people globally do not see in the next 5 years that they and their families will be better off. So how are you thinking about economic opportunity? How are you working on economic opportunity now, especially in this moment when people are already facing hardships? They're worrying about an economic recession or an impending recession, and they are pessimistic.
That reality is not only, you know, coming through from the Edelman Trust Barometer. We hear it within the walls of our business because, you know, as society goes, so does PepsiCo as a company, but so do our employees. And so we really have a strong commitment to not only hear from the communities, but to be a positive force in those communities. And so in 2020, during not only the pandemic, the health pandemic, there was also the racial reckoning that transpired. And so the company sort of said, what do we do in the communities where we live and work? And so our CEO, so CEO down, top-down driven, but bottom-up owned, sort of said we need to have this racial equality journey and made a commitment of over $500 million to communities that really had an outsized disparate level of suffering, if you will, during the pandemic. And that, again, as you said, it's the hangover. Yeah. You know, it's not hangover one, hangover two, hangover three. This might be hangover five or six or whatever, you know, version it is. I mean, there's a reality of the pandemic hangover that we needed to address. And so the company, in all of its largesse, said we need to really focus in on communities. And so one thing that we've been really clear on is that we need to be really a key contributor to positivity in the communities and to be a real contributor to really bringing about change. And so we have a number of programs that are designed to really create more equity, to really create a catalytic effect in terms of positivity, and to really change people's lives and livelihoods directly. And so through programs such as a community college program that we have for Black and Hispanic students, through a program of Black and Hispanic Business Accelerator, a restaurant accelerator, food service businesses, restaurants that we're supporting in communities all over the U.S., and through a Black Nonprofit Leaders Program. These are programs that are directly impacting the community, but they're providing funds, they're providing mentorship, they're providing management, they're providing connections, all the things that are needed, not only to help people today. So the financial support is great, but they need the business acumen to survive, adapt to the new normal, and then to thrive. And so we're showing up with, from the business side, you know, saying that PepsiCo is here and we're going to continue buying and sourcing and making great products with the community. But we're also showing up from the philanthropic side to say we're here. We have grant capital that's going to help, hopefully, you know, provide grant capital to create a change in your communities that is going to be long lasting. So we're going to, you know, step in and be a catalyst for you to really move on beyond us. And so that's where the foundation is really, really a part of providing the needed resources. But we also know that there's long-term issues and then there's short-term issues. So Maybe that grant capital and that business funding is there, but we also have programs where, you know, people need to literally get through today. And so using our capabilities of the company to provide access to nutritious foods. So you talked about the realities of inflation and the recession, but one thing that we saw happen during COVID is that school closures. So we don't think about school. We think about schools as educational institutions, but schools are also a place where some children, it's the only place where they're getting a meal. They're getting breakfast, They're getting lunch, and maybe, you know, depending on the school, there may be something after school. We don't know if they're getting dinner or not. There's hidden hunger all over the U.S. You know, more than 25 million kids, 1 in 8 children in the U.S. being food insecure, 1 in 5 Black and brown kids in the U.S. food insecure. And so through our program, one program in the U.S. called Food for Good, we're able to source, using our capabilities at PepsiCo, source nutritious foods, pack it, and deliver it to schools in times when the government or the school district isn't providing. So school providing breakfast, but maybe not lunch. School's providing breakfast and lunch, but no after school. And during the summers, summer program. So we're looking at, again, I remember I said philanthropic capital can be de-risking capital coming in where places where government or the private sector doesn't come in. We're looking at that as provide access. So this is, you know, daily feeding of children in schools or in educational institutions where we're giving them access to food. So we can have the immediate impact, but we also have the long-term impact. But no matter what, we're really cognizant that times are tough. And in tough times, you know, we think we have it's an opportunity for us to do more, but we also have a responsibility to do more than just create great products. We're using our size, our scale, and our commitment to communities to do more good for more people.
You mentioned a number of programs that you guys are working on. Let's talk about the Black Restaurant Accelerator. and Impacto, the Hispanic Business Accelerator. What are those programs provide? You mentioned them, but let's go a little bit deeper on those because I'm fascinated by them. And tell us a little bit more about why you're investing the money you're investing in those specific programs.
So as a food and beverage company, this is sort of a softball in the sense that, you know, we know a lot about restaurants and businesses and food service businesses. But the other side is that we think about the pandemic and all it did to shut down different parts of society, but it also shut down businesses. Yeah. It shut down businesses, particularly in Black and brown communities, where over 44% of Black-owned businesses went out of business during the pandemic. The numbers for Hispanic businesses pretty similar, and that's compared to 17% of white-owned businesses. And so the disparities are real there. The other thing is that, you know, Black and Hispanic businesses aren't just businesses. These are places where you have real culture and community connection. These are places where people are taking their grandmother's recipe and sharing it in the restaurant to the world. These are places where people come for connection. And it's sort of, it's a community institutions that were lost. And PepsiCo is a company that really wants to be global, but also is local. You know, that community loss is something that we feel like we could sort of help stem the tide, the negative tide that was coming from that loss. So in supporting Black-owned restaurants through a local institution. So we have a great idea. We want to support Black businesses. How do we find them? How do we fund them? How do we support them? Let's find a great local institution that's trusted by communities, that really is in the communities, and fund them to be able to go and find and support these Black restaurants. So through the National Urban League in 12 cities throughout the U.S., they already had entrepreneurship centers. So they had these entrepreneurship centers where they were helping local Black-owned businesses. And we sort of said, we want you to target restaurants, Black-owned restaurants. And people that are in your entrepreneurship center that are getting business support, we're going to come in, we're going to give them some funding. So now it's not only coaching and counseling, we're going to actually be able to give them some funding. And so we did that with the National Urban League on the Hispanic Business Accelerator Impacto, very similar model. Funding, but also mentorship, marketing, management, all the things they need for a holistic approach. Now, why is this so important? Because this is really helping businesses not only be able to have the capital, which is an important component, the money was able to help them expand, you know, 6 feet distancing. These are small mom and pop shops. They all of a sudden they were able to open up outdoor seating, which they never had. They were able to digitize because some of them never were places where you would call in and there was no Uber Eats for your local bodega, right? You know, sort of like, hey, how do we really, they're not digitized. Mm-hmm. So they were able to use that funding for digitization. They were able to expand their kitchen to be able to look at efficiencies because maybe they have less employees and so maybe they needed new kitchen equipment to look at their efficiencies. So there's any number of things. Some people started food trucks. There was some infrastructure. There was some digital infrastructure. Then there was sort of just literally the debt that had mounted on some of these businesses was what they could use the grant capital for. And the other thing that's unknown or not known enough is that the realities is that the PPE, these payroll protection loans that people got, there's a disproportionate number of Black and Hispanic businesses that didn't get the PPE funding. And so the reality is that PepsiCo could come in and support an industry that literally is part of our lifeblood. You know, local restaurants and local restaurateurs are in our supply chain. They also are in the communities where we live and work and serve. And so to have the Black Restaurant Accelerator with the local community connection, to have Impacto Hispanic Business Accelerator with the local community connection was a way that we could show up again for community, but it was also a way in which we could show up not only during the pandemic, but long term. Now, through our work in the foundation, we've been able to give linkage to local businesses and communities that the business, the PepsiCo, the business may not have ever seen. They may not have ever had these Black restaurants as clients, if you will, or places where we were working at from a business standpoint. So we in the foundation, through the public good aspect of our funding, are now able to give more opportunities for PepsiCo, the business, to come in and have long-term relationships with these local businesses who were never seen, never really visible from a business, long-term business relationship standpoint. So we feel really proud about the sustainability aspect of, yes, short-term grant funding, mentorship, management, marketing support, but the long-term relationship is when we're able to see these businesses have a long-term relationship with PepsiCo and our various brands, whatever they may be. You know, the last thing, Alex, I'll say is the same thing happens internationally. Mm-hmm. When you're talking about communities that are in need, let's go with an agricultural example. So when we're able to help smallholder farmers, particularly female smallholder farmers, improve their incomes, increase their productivity, help them sort of link to market. We're trying to help them link to market writ large. But sometimes, guess what? We are the market. Yeah. They're growing potatoes. We need potatoes for Lay's potato chips. So now we're helping smallholder female farmers increase their incomes, increase their productivity, you know, have more nutrition accessible for their families, but we're also giving them a supply chain, not for a grant program for 2 to 3 years. Once they're growing the potatoes at the quantity and the quality on a consistent basis that we want, they're going to be in PepsiCo's supply chain forever. Mm-hmm. So now it's not about a short-term solution. This is a self-sustaining solution that's going to be long-term. So philanthropic capital came in. We did some good, but we also now have created a relationship with the business that will be long-lasting. So that's where I think it's important to think about corporate foundations and philanthropy as catalysts for change, but it could be long-term sustainable change and transformation for communities.
I think what's so powerful about those two programs that you mentioned, the Black Restaurant Accelerator and Impacto, is a lot of times in the philanthropic and even in the impact space, we've been talking about inputs and outputs. And you're talking about outcomes.
And we're talking about outcomes and we're talking about impact. This is beyond good intentions.
Yes.
Oh, we made a grant. It's like, so what? What did the grant do? It did this. So what? If you keep asking yourself, so what? You get to the impact that you're having in terms of transformational change.
Yeah.
And it's not a negative question. It's a positive question. Right. So what difference did we make? So what more can we do? That's when you sort of see the real long-term, not the quick win, but the long-term sustainable change. So it's way beyond inputs and outputs and even outcomes. We want outcomes. And like, okay, the impact of that outcome does what?
Right.
You know, Black-owned businesses being on a pathway to growth and scale that's measurable because we stepped in with a $10,000 grant and some business management support. You know, $10,000 input, you know, output, they bought a new stove. Okay, that's where we lived, you know, maybe pre-2020. Now they bought a new stove. What did that stove allow them to do? And now that they've been able to do that, what impact are they having in their community? And it may be that this is this Black-owned vegan restaurant that's providing more nutritious options in a community of color that was basically a food desert.
You also recently announced your new class of Black Changemakers, and that's PepsiCo Foundation in partnership with Doritos Solid Black to uplift Black nonprofit leaders. You just talked about business. Why are you working to uplift Black nonprofit leaders?
You know, it's a great question. It makes me smile because, you know, as somebody who spent my career in the nonprofit and the public service sector in terms of government and nonprofits, you know, it seems sort of self-serving. Like, why not help, you know, community leaders? That's what I'm supposed to do. But it really is so important. I mean, we hear so much about how do we bring about change. And it really is at a local level. Everything is proximate. We want to solve so many of these challenges, finding the local people and trusting them. Trust-based philanthropy. I'm sure Edelman loves to hear, you know, anything trust-based. But trust-based philanthropy of saying they know how. We just have to go to them. We have to listen. We have to learn. And then let them lead us. And so we're a catalyst in terms of supporting local nonprofit leaders because the challenges that we're facing, I can't solve those in my office in New York. And my team can't solve those in their offices anywhere they are in the world. We have to go to these local communities and say, who are the leaders in the communities that are looking at real community transformational change, who are proximate to the challenges, and support them. Back those brains, you know, really give them the funding and the support to bring about the change that they see as possible. You know who the change makers really are in communities? There's these nonprofit community leaders that no one ever knows about. So of all of the stats are that of all of the, you know, nonprofit organizations in the U.S., only about 5% of them are run by Black leaders, but have Black CEOs. And I'm like, wow. So if you think about most of the issues in communities in America, they're going to be Black or brown people who are sort of the beneficiaries of the challenges that we're trying to address, but are they in the leadership roles? So can we do something with a big brand like Doritos, the PepsiCo Foundation's dollars, and the spirit, the ingenuity, the transformational change that these Black leaders are trying to bring about? And so let's put our money, $50,000, to back their causes. Let's take our brand, Doritos, and amplify them. So we're giving these Black nonprofit change makers, nonprofit leaders, access to world-class fundraising, business management, coaching, and financial support so that we can solve that problem of not only Black CEOs, but also solve the problem that we can't find them. You know what? Doritos just made a commercial that's highlighting them. You can find them if you really want to find them.
I want to ask for our listeners. We're going to have a lot of people listening who are in corporate impact roles. You talked a lot about the work that you've done, and I gather you've learned a lot about the corporate impact space in the last 2 years. What lessons do you want to give to other people in your role or in a role like yours in other places? Some of your friends are in roles like yours in other companies. What advice would you give to them as they continue to move through this space in corporate impact within this complex world that we live in right now?
The number one thing that I would say is take the mindset, the mentality that you take as a servant leader and use that same mindset and mentality as you're engaging your colleagues.
Thank you for all of that guidance, for answering these questions, for talking about PepsiCo, and for the guidance that we've given to the broader impact community. Couldn't be more valuable. That's all the time we have for today. CD, thank you for sharing your insights and your expertise. And to our listeners, thank you for listening to The Trustmakers.
Thank you for tuning into The Trustmakers, an Edelman podcast in partnership with Advertising Week, where we speak with leaders and other trust builders across institutions. See you next time.